Hello, welcome to the Gridiron Gurus podcast. It's now week three of the regular season. I'm Travis Lazarczyk alongside Evan Crawley for the Kennebec Journal and Morning Sentinel. Evan, we've already kind of gotten to that point in the schedule where we're getting some of those games that when people saw the schedule, they were anticipated. One of them is Brunswick playing Coney this weekend in the PTCB.
Yep, that's our Kennebec Journal game of the week. Jumping right into that game. Brunswick is coming off a game in which they allowed Lawrence to make things a little bit more interesting than they wanted to late. Lawrence scored 13 points in the span of about 12 seconds and with less than 7 minutes remaining to make it a one-score game, but Brunswick was able to hold on thanks to some tough running by Will Bessie down the stretch and an interception there by Jesse Devereaux. Bessie Devereaux and Hunter Garrett form a strong running trio for the Dragons. Look for them to get the ball against Coney. A lot of your traditional Brunswick offense where they're going to try to pound the rock. But also be aware of them trying to go over the top. Hansen's a very capable quarterback. Last week he had Corbin Teal and Alan Molnar on a couple long passes. But don't think the Dragons are quite like they were last year when they were dominant with Banduvers and Bessie just tearing through the conference.
Sure.
But Coney looked to have figured things out last week, thanks in part to the return of Reed Shostak. Shostak missed the opener against Mount Blue with a dislocated elbow. He's got a brace on there that Coach B.L. Lippert says takes about a half hour to put on.
It's a big one, yeah.
Fortunately, Reed said he's feeling pretty good. And recently we caught up with Reed at a practice.
Oh, feels great. You know, it's nothing. I mean, I would love to play without the big cast, but they're not letting me yet.
What's the process like to put that thing on?
It's long, and it's not fun. It's like three different layers of tape and wrap and foam and then the cast. It's long.
Coach said you were able to prove, though, that you could still catch the ball, run the ball, and be an effective offensive player out there too, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can move my arm, but I just can't bend it at the elbow yet.
Yep.
And catch and hand off and all that.
How much has it limited you?
I mean, more than I like, but I can't complain. I'm playing.
Yep. Playing Brunswick this week. What are your thoughts on playing those guys?
It's always a hell of a lot of fun. It's real competitive. Things get chippy more often than not, and it's just the team you want to play.
Now, it won't just be Shostak for the Rams this week. Taylor Heath is coming off a great game. Really kind of torched the Messalonsky defense, hitting Anthony Brunell for plenty of passes and Jordan Roddy, too. The Coney offense was much sharper last week than they were in the first week of the season. Also, defensively, they seem to be still making progress in what figures to be one of the strong suits of the team with that front four with Dylan Tedeen and Benaiah Wilhoit on the edges and with Shostak back at linebacker paired with Max Story as well as Joel Bennett. That front seven, front eight should be a strength for Coney. Elsewhere in the PTCB, Gardner, 0-2, takes on 2-0 Brewer. Gardner looking to get on track. Last year was a close game. They ended up falling late 14-8. This year they go up to Doyle Field, and you know the Tigers are still trying to work things out, and they're facing a Brewer team which you know has looked very good and has one of the best 1-2 threats in the conference with Logan Rogerson and Dylan Severance. Now looking elsewhere at the PTCB, big game for two teams looking to make a step forward. Mount Blue at Lawrence.
Yeah, Mount Blue 1-1 at Lawrence 0-2. I don't think it's too early, Evan, to call this a must-win for Lawrence. If they go to 0-3, heading to Coney next week, could take the Bulldogs out of playoff competition. Lawrence did play well, as you mentioned, against Brunswick last week. It was a one-score game late. Mount Blue coming off a game which they had to play without their head coach Jim Elward, losing a close one to Brewer. Coach Elward had a health scare last week, missed out the game. He expects to be back and may have to coach from the booth. If so, even just having him at the field would be a boost for the Cougars. Nate Pratt-Holt, one of the best receivers in the league for Mount Blue, with Ryan Pratt throwing him the ball. Lawrence got the offense going a little bit last week with Walker Thomas and sophomore quarterback Braden Ballard, so they hope to take another step forward this week. Messalonsky's 1-1. They're going to Hamden, who's also 1-1. Mesolowski, one of the best running games in the league, again, with Jack Bernacchi, Colby Dexter, and Caleb Chavare taking the carries for the Eagles there. Last week, Hamden bounced back from a tough loss against Brunswick in week one to beat league newcomer Nokomis. Quarterback, what was his name? Tommy Farah, there it is, threw for 245 yards against the Warriors. So if the Broncos can get that passing game going, that's one place where Mesolowski struggled last week against Coney, was defending the pass. And the other game in the PTCB will be 2-0 Skowhegan going to 0-2 Nokomis. Skowhegan, another team that's looked pretty sharp offensively with quarterback Garrick McSweeney throwing to all kinds of receivers.
That's a game that's Saturday afternoon. Another game that's Saturday afternoon in the Little Ten Conference. MCI travels to Mount View. The Huskies have looked like a juggernaut so far, Travis.
Yeah, they have just been rolling everybody. I thought last week Orono would give them a close game. Shows what I know, because MCI won the game 63-0. Both their games, they've had a 50-point lead in the first half. And Coach Tom Bertrand told me they even went to running time in the second quarter against Washington Academy in week one. MCI was that team that everyone kind of put as the preseason Little Ten Conference favorite. Mount View figured they'd be a much improved team. They've already won their two games, and that ties last year's record for wins in the season. The Mustangs are kind of that unknown in the league. They had a lot of guys back, and this will be a big test for them early on. We talked to we talked to MCI senior Alex Bertrand about this matchup with the Mustangs.
We got stuff running back-wise, our run game. We still got a lot to work on up front, blocking our assignments. And really, it's all about alignment assignment and executing the play. That's really what it is.
What stands out about Mount View when you've looked at them on film?
Well, they've run the triple option. We know that that's a big – it can be a big play. There's three different options and that the quarterback can do. He can give, he can keep, or he can pitch the ball. And this is a week, just like Orono, where our players have to play our assignments and we have to execute what we need to do by position.
Mount View coach Haggy Pratt called the MCI no-huddle spread offense a machine, and that's a pretty fair assessment. They've got a lot of players that they shuffle in and out. They're in their third season now of running this no-huddle. They know what they're doing with it. And Haggy just said it's going to be a big test to stop it because it just happens so quickly. And his players really have to focus on their job. Just worry about what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about the speed and the pace of the game. Mount View themselves has a lot of players on offense. Tyler Ripley, Cole Hannon at quarterback. Jack Axum at fullback. And so this team might be the one that finally scores on the Huskies.
On the other side of Class D in the Campbell Conference, the game we're looking at is Winthrop Monmouth at Derrigo. Both teams are 1-1 as the Ramblers travel to Harlow Park Friday night. Last year, Derrigo took a pretty comfortable lead win over that one, 25-6, but expect this one to be much closer. The Cougars are coming off a tight loss to Oak Hill, preseason favorite in Campbell Conference. Coach Jim Hursom made some great in-game adjustments, switching up what they were doing on offense, called quarterback Riley Robinson's number a lot more in that game down the stretch, and he very nearly carried the Cougars to a win. Winthrop Monmouth, meanwhile, spent some time at practice Wednesday catching up with the Ramblers. For a story on Jack Vickerson, he's a 5'7", 140 nose guard, nose tackle and left guard, but he's tenacious and he's kind of embodied what the Ramblers are about this year. They're not the biggest team, but they're fast. They've got a lot of guys who can carry the ball and look for this one to be a kind of a mix of speed versus power, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Elsewhere on Friday night in the Campbell Conference, Oak Hill travels to Booth Bay. The Raiders took a 39-6 win over Booth Bay last year. Don't expect much to change there. Booth Bay does have some strong players back this year. Tight end Abel Breyer, running back Dima Gosselin, quarterback Duncan Drapo. But, Oak Hill is just, it looks like they're going to be too strong for Booth Bay. Look for them to run their record to 3-0. And then on Saturday afternoon, Marana Cook travels to Kittery to take on Trape. Last year, the Rangers ended up beating the Black Bears 19-7 in Reedfield, but they ended up having to forfeit that game for self-reporting the use of an ineligible player. Both teams bring back a strong amount of contributors from those teams. Trape with quarterback Angelo Soucy, running back Evan Porter. Their split end defensive back David Gibson. But what the what Trape lacks is a little bit of depth. And with the style that Moranicook likes to play, they're gonna play that single wing, and they're just gonna grind you away, give them the ball to quarterback Kyle Morand, wingback Zach Lacasse, wingback Drew Davis. And with that size, they should be able to kind of wear down Trape in that one. But it should be a close one. Elsewhere in the Big Ten Conference, two 2-0 teams, Winslow at MDI.
Yeah, Winslow is going to make the long trip from Winslow to Bar Harbor for that game. Winslow, like MCI in Class D, has just been steamrolling their opponents. Winslow also hasn't been scored upon. And just look dominant. I saw them against John Baps last week, and aside from a turnover on their first possession, the Black Raiders just steamrolled. Nate St. Amand had four touchdowns, three by the run, one on a punt return, and all four were on plays of more than 40 yards. So the Black Raiders kind of have a team in Mount Desert Island that's won in a couple of different ways. And their opener at Foxcroft, they won through by throwing the ball around the field. And then last week in beating Belfast, they grinded it out, which has been traditionally what they've done in recent years, lining up in the full house T backfield and just pounding it at you and trying to win by controlling the clock. Two games in the Big Ten are rematches of playoff games last year. We'll start with Madison going to Belfast. Madison's 2-0. Belfast is 0-2. They played one of the craziest regular season games you'll see in Maine football history last year, with Belfast winning 82-60. Belfast took a 20-12 win in the playoff rematch later on in the season. Madison, a lot of weapons on offense. Nick Morales had four touchdowns last week. Mitch Jarvis had two touchdown receptions from quarterback Chase Molloy the week before, so it's just a matter of which guy is going to get into a groove for the Bulldogs. Other game in the conference that Friday night, Waterville 1-1 going up to 0-2 Foxcroft. Waterville struggled in a game against Old Town on opening night, made some adjustments in week two, and took a pretty solid win over Herman. Foxcroft just trying to find some sort of rhythm after losing quarterback and arguably the best player in the conference, Hunter Smith, in the exhibition preseason. The Ponies are 0-2. I can't remember the last time they've started a season 0-2. 0-3 might really put their playoff hopes in jeopardy.
Well, that'll do it for us this week. Be sure to check us out on centralmaine.com. We'll have updates throughout Friday from the games we're at. And also be sure to follow myself, Travis, and staff writer Randy Whitehouse on Twitter for live updates throughout the game.
And that's it for us this week. We hope you'll listen next week when we talk about some big week 4 games on Gridiron Gurus.